Watch him throw the ball, we gon' pick it off. You gon' let him hit the holder, you gon' cut it off. You gon' play through fourth and longer, you gon' punt it off. Your defenders, heavy hitters, put your pads in. Don't be looking for the ref to throw no flags in. Keep the helmet on, keep the cleats tight. You the type to want to win by any means, right? You should look alive, this is Trap or Dive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me go ahead and tighten this thing right quick. Boom. Ooh. Welcome back to another episode of the Trap or Die podcast provided to you by 214 Media. I am your host, Marley Maul, Hen Dog Maul, Coach Maul, all that good stuff, man. How do I zoom out of this, man? Hold on. Dakota, I need you to relax. Crop layout, shift 2. Does this work? That doesn't work. Damn, this sounds stupid. They got me all zoomed in like this. Fuck it. All right. Again, I am your host, Marley Maul, Hen Dog Maul, Coach Maul, all that good stuff of the Trap or Die podcast. Nick is checking in tonight.
Ooh, on time.
Nick is checking in tonight. You know, he's on time. I give him
one
a little
time.
Credit for that.
You know what I'm saying?
Give him a little credit for that. He signed in at 7 on the dot, probably like towards the 701 side, but you know what I'm saying? 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
I got the link at 6:59, bro. And 59 seconds, so it'd be like that, bro.
Let me see what time I sent that jump. See if you justified, bro. Say 3 minutes ago. Fair enough. So I'll say 6:59. Okay, all right. So Nick is in here tonight. Let me get the administrative items out of the way as always. In whichever way you are listening, always be sure to rate, review, or like the show if you are new to the Trap or Die podcast. Make sure you are following on Twitch or subscribe to the YouTube channel to help the show's growth. It is truly appreciated. Look, we are not too far away from 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, man. That is a milestone for all of us. I know I've been working hard, really hard, on this goddamn channel to bring the content. FYI, Sam Cosmi Film Breakdown is on the way. For those who are listening, those who are very involved with those film breakdowns, just a heads up, I wasn't and I won't, because of time constraints, be able to watch my set number. I like to watch 5 games, but I won't be able to reach that number with Sam Cosmi. I got a lot of other things going on, but I will put out what I see of Sam and just give y'all a glimpse, right, and into what I see with Sam Cosmi, and take that for what it's worth, right? But with that being said, it helps the show growth, man. We're almost to 1,000 subscribers. That's major. So hopefully we can get there before the season starts, man. And then secondly, the last thing of the administrative items, Maya Shaka. I will not stop talking about Maya Shaka, man. The interview is out on all Trap or Die platforms. The first black woman to be a full-time NFL referee. It was out earlier this week, if not late last week, I believe. I don't remember. Great interview, man. Give Maya some love. Listen to her story, understand her perspective. She is starting her second season as a full-time NFL official, man. She has a great journey, and I'm rooting for, and I'm looking forward to everything that she got going on moving forward. Now we got Nick in the building. Nick, how you feeling, man? How's everything today, but also how was that workout, bro? I know y'all hit the gym today. You muted, my bad. Go ahead, start over.
I'm back. Bruh, let me tell you about your boy Ali, bro. We was on some stupid shit today.
I need a scouting report. Full scouting report.
All right, we did we finished the workout with bear crawls. We did started with 150 push-ups off bucks. Then we did pullovers with the 85.
I was about to say it had to be the 85s.
We did the little squats with the one-sided bar.
Squats with the one-sided bar.
The jump is next to the boxing jumps. And it's like you got it. It's like the weight's only on one side of the pole and the other pole in the ground.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
did that jump. I think we went up to three plates of 45. So we went to 135 with that jump. No, we might have been more than that. Nah, I might have. We might have been more. What else
Wait,
we do?
Squat, the squats or like the squat press?
Just the squats. No press. No press. No press. So that, and then we did the purple band 20, and we did on a dip bar, we did knee ups and kickouts. So it was 20.
We did that Sunday. Wait, no, we did that yesterday. I know. All right.
20 and 12s. With 20 and 12, went over to 100 on the pull down jumps. That was kind of it. But boy,
no, because Trey was there when we did it. So no, y'all didn't do that yesterday.
We would want to say we was. Did it. I was here yesterday. I was here yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I did it. I did it Sunday because I remember Trey was doing that shit, and he was. Shout out to Trey, bro. I ain't gonna do that to him.
Yeah, and then Trey was in that joint today, but I mean that was kind of it. But we the bear calls at the end, bro. Like.
Front, y'all had to go down and down go and back. Backwards or
nah, just down, down and turn and around. Turn around. We did five of those. Shit. We did five of those in the workout, but it was a girl that was there before us. And when I saw her, like, I seen it on her face, like she was like defeated. I just knew, like, I was like, oh, this is about to be a workout, cause. But
oh my goodness,
I think I'd have felt better if I didn't work out yesterday, but. It is what it is. But me and Kiki going tomorrow morning, so I'm waiting to see how that shit about to turn out.
You don't really do back-to-back workouts with Ali.
Nah. Unless my schedule out of whack.
You do Monday, Wednesday for sure, and I know you do Friday morning.
Either Thursday or Friday morning, so it depends. So, like, tomorrow we doing Thursday morning because she got work Friday. So I'm doing back-to-back-to-back. This shit about to be stupid.
Nah, it's not, bro. You actually need to get used to that. Those are the more rewarding workouts is when you go consecutive days, bro, and defeat them workouts. I remember I used to tell Ali all the time, bro. So remember when we was going to Gold's and we had our workout sessions, like we all had our group jumps, right?
Yeah.
And that was the time where I took a break from Ali for financial reasons. So I was like, you know what, I can't fade no workouts right now, but in the meantime, I'm gonna take what I learned and we're gonna do that shit at Gold's. I told Ali, I said, when I come back, bruh, I'm telling you, you ain't about to beat me with no workout, bruh. Came back to the jumps, nigga, for like, this was like 2019 now. So this is where I'm like, I'm trying to get cut. I'm trying to bulk up and build muscle. So I'm like, bruh, it ain't nothing you can give me right now. Just talking shit. So like, ain't nothing you can give me right now that's going to beat me, bruh. I'm going to win every one. And I was good for like a good... And this is relatively a long time, given that we're talking about workouts. I was good for like a month. Like, it was nothing that he could do that fucking got me defeated or anything like that. But then it all started to sink in. So I was like, bro, this nigga had me lifting 100-pound fucking...
Kettlebell?
Nah, dumbbells, bro, on fucking the Schwarzenegger jumps. I don't think you ever did them jumps with him. But
wasn't
the Schwarzenegger,
there.
I fucking hate them jumps, bro. I hate them jumps with the 35. Like, I was doing that shit with like 75, 85.
He was doing that shit. Like, and you know, so this had to be at the other gym.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't. So when I say 2019, they just opened this gym in like 2020.
Oh, wow.
So they was at the old gym when we were doing, when I'm talking about what I'm talking about.
Right, like, the gym was like
closer and Bowie and shit. That's all that was.
That's the level up jump?
White folk. Yeah, level up. Yeah. But yeah, I was chatting with you. I'm saying Father's Day was Sunday. I was around the way. I know, I'm saying, I know we had jokes and shit, some stupid ass jokes, but just want to make sure, you know what I'm saying, you enjoyed your weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What I do? So drove down to Atlanta Thursday night, got there Friday morning. Worked, and then ended up taking my niece out.
Did the midnight shift?
Yeah, I don't like driving during the day for real.
I would rather go at fucking 4 a.m. If I'm leaving somewhere, bro, and I know it's going to be a long drive, bro, I'll get up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., bro, to do that job. I'm a morning person. So that's why I was like, it's easier for me. You talking about 10. Was you left at 10?
Nah, I left at maybe I left right before the game started, so it might have been like 8.
Oh my god.
8-7. It might have been like 7:38. But I left. I think I took a nap in North Carolina at the rest jump and then drove. Yeah, I don't be driving through the night. I'll be going to sleep, right. Bro. I don't, bro. Fuck no. I go to sleep in a heartbeat.
I told you. Well, I'm sure you're aware of the time me, Montel, and DZ drove to Florida, right?
Yeah, y'all niggas tripping, bro.
For those who don't know, oh my god, bro. That was a jump that traumatized me, bro. Fucking. Now I can say everything that we did because like it's a long time ago, and on top of that, I don't do it no more. But nigga, 2015 spring break going to Florida, Tallahassee. My boy DZ, we was all up at Morgan State at the time, and prior to us all being Morgan State, we all were at different schools. You know, DZ was at FAMU, I was at UMES. You, Nick, as well as Montel, was at Dale State. But we're all at Morgan now, and fucking, we're all deciding what to do for spring break, and we decided to fucking hit the road and go to Florida. I'm like, fam, you, it's what's up. It's lit and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm with that, nigga. Go to Jabu territory, bro. Go see what Florida State talking about, all that shit. Go to see what Florida Gators talking about, all that shit. See all that whole town, bro. Heard it's cheap. Heard it's lit. Heard the youngins is everywhere. Nigga. Then we talking about when we going to leave. And they saying we want to leave at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, in the morning? Nah, at night.
Hell,
like, nigga, did y'all just say y'all want to leave at 7 or 8 o'clock? Oh, by the way, yeah, it's going to take about 12 hours to get there. Nigga, did y'all say it's going to take 12 hours to get there? Yeah, I mean, 12 hours, you know what I'm saying? We all do 3-4 hour shifts, ain't nothing. Nigga, did y'all just say that we're going to do 4 hour shifts? There's 3 of us doing this. Are we going to do 4 hour shifts, bro? So, I'm in that joint doing. They all, you know what I'm saying, doing their thing. Again, in the moment, you know, we were doing, you know what I'm saying, turning up in the car irresponsibly. Very, very, very
irresponsible, bro. I can't believe y'all.
Turning up in the car, and I'm begging it, like, hey, let me do my first leg now. So that don't work out. It turns out I'm doing my first leg as the third wheel. So I'm third in line. Not only am I third in line, Nick. Everybody goes to sleep when I'm the nigga that's driving. I don't get no help. I don't get no fucking voice in my ear. I don't get nothing except for the road. And I'm in the first hour of the trip. I don't know at what point I decided I can't do this, but I pulled over probably like an hour and a half and maybe 2 hours. Told these niggas I can't do it, bruh. It's impossible. It's
hour in, bruh.
Yeah, an hour, 2 hours in, bro. It's a long. For context, yes, an hour in. I was up the entire time that they were riding.
That's why. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
I was up the entire time they was riding. I should have mentioned that part. So, again, I was the last leg. It was 3 of us going. I was the last leg. I was tired like an hour or two in. And these guys decided to go to sleep when I'm taking the wheel. But they all turning up on the first 4 hours of the joint. And I say they tired. Nigga, how the fuck am I going to survive if everybody going to sleep on me?
So, look, if
and I didn't even want to take the last leg, nigga. I did not want to take the last leg.
Did y'all rock paper scissors for it? Which who determined the last leg?
I don't remember. It just happened organically. I tried to tell him, so I was like, hey, bro, let me take that first leg. We really going to do this. But the thing I vehemently fought for. Was for us to leave in the morning. I said, bro, we need to leave in the morning. That's the thing I fought for. And they weren't rocking. They said, bro, it's going to be easier for us to leave at night. So that's the one thing that I fought for, that I really fought for. When I asked for the first leg, that was soft. I was like, all right, if y'all want to do that, cool. You know what I'm saying? Handle your business. But y'all going to be mad when it's my turn. That's what I told y'all. Bro. So y'all going to be mad when it's my turn, bro. But I tried to fight really hard for us to leave in the morning. And that's where the issue came in.
So hold up, bro. Hold on. So y'all left at night and you stayed up until it had to be to like 3 or 4 as soon as you got
in. I didn't do it. My turn was hell
like, no, bro.
My turn was like at 12, 1 a.m.
See, the only thing about riding with people that long of a drive, bro. Some people like listen to music. Some people like listen to other shit. Like it's like nah. Then people gotta go to the bathroom, but nah, bro. I'd rather take any trip dolo, unless it's like cross country. But 10, 12 hours, bro. I gotta do that shit dolo.
Bro, that joint was hell, bro. And yeah, I get it. I gotta do it dolo. But also, like for me, knowing me, I would gladly wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Nah.
And no, I would gladly wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to hit the road by 2:30, 3 o'clock, do my 12-hour drive like that. But I can't do no 7 p.m., 8 p.m. because I'm getting back then when I was actually going to sleep at like 11, 12. Like now I go to sleep earlier, way earlier than 11, 12. But back then, even still, like I'm hitting the road when my body's naturally getting tired, bro. I'm shutting down. So that shit was hard as fuck, bro.
Nah.
One of the worst joints I've ever. It is the worst joint I ever took. One of the worst road trips ever, bro. I will never forget that shit, bro.
I would never, bro. And then driving back, I think driving back, I left at like now. 4.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, I was like, oh, bro, I'm feeling a jet. So I got all the way to.
Wait, 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.?
4 p.m. Because I had to work still a little bit.
I think it was terrible.
So I was working.
Rush hour.
But it was Juneteenth, so it wasn't nobody on the road. Like my goal was to leave at 1 when everybody started going to activities and doing shit. They was gonna already be there, and I could just hit the road, be killing. I'd have got home at like midnight ish, maybe early than midnight. But I got on the road at 4. I was good until I hit. It's just one part of South Carolina right before you hit North Carolina. It's traffic all the time, and it'd be like police starting the traffic every day. Like literally, like they'll go out, stop, like sit in the middle of the road probably for like 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then they'll start going. Cause I saw cuz doing it the other way when I was driving past, and they shit was backed up. I was like, bro, this shit's so stupid. But I always get off at this one stop and take back roads and finally get to North Carolina, and I'd be Gucci. But bruh, I think it probably hit like 11 o'clock. I was like, damn, bro, I'm tired of shit. And then I think I got all the to Virginia line, and I was like, fuck it, bro, I'm about to go to sleep. So I went to sleep, probably woke up at like 5, 6 in the morning. I might have got home at like 8.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, bro, I fucked around, put my seats down in the back. I wish I had like a blanket and some pillows.
You got Chuck now, so you got
you got
space, bro.
Litty. I was like, oh, this shit cool. Put that shit down. I was like, man, it's lit. Lay it out in the back, cuz. But yeah, I just need a next time I need a pillow and a blanket, I'd be Gucci. But yeah, I ain't really do shit this weekend. I helped my mother out with some stuff around the house. Went to Copper Cove, of course, got some lamb chops.
Copper, that's the spot that we went to.
I think so. They got the lamb chops.
I know we went to a spot with lamb chops. That's why, when you always talk about lamb chops, I heard Copper Cove before, but I don't know if we went to Copper Cove. That's why I'm asking you. Was it that spot?
Yeah.
Like a strip where like a neighborhood is too.
Yeah. It's like down the hill.
It's up the hill, but you can go down. Like if you turn into a, from my recollection, I may be fucking it up. My recollection, I know when we turned down the street. Copper Cove was on our left. We drove down a hill to park, but the restaurant slash, because when we went there, it was a fucking club scene type shit or like a lounge scene type shit.
Yeah.
It was up the hill. Like it was okay. All right.
It was up and on. Yeah. So walking up the hill to get to the spot. Yeah. And we went. It was me, Lauren, and a couple other people. We just went just to go catch up and shit. Cause I tried to go Saturday, but they weren't, but it was too packed. I couldn't find no parking. I wasn't about to wait. And then I took my niece out to a trampoline park. No, we went to go see Jurassic Park. She got scared halfway through the movie. We left. So wasted that money. Got her food and all that.
She got scared, bro. That zone was that. That zone was.
Nah, I mean she young. So
how old is she?
She might be like 4.
Oh, all right.
So she got scared, but I don't think she was scared or tired because she was sleeping at home. I gave her my jacket. She was balled up in the chair. I was like, bro, let's just go. Let's just go, bro.
She's probably cold.
Yeah.
She's cold, bro. In theater, do be fucking freezing.
Now I gotta watch that shit on bootleg. Cause I heard it was good, so check it out.
All right. I mean, it's mixed reviews. I know, like I'm in the same boat. I gotta see it. I actually want to see it. So, we'll see with that. I gotta see that jump, and I gotta see the Spider-Man jump that came out too. Now that's months old. I know I'm late as shit, but
I don't think that jump in the movies no more. To be honest,
yeah, I don't think it is either. But I'm just saying, in terms of movies that's coming out, like during this pandemic thing, whatever, you know, I don't know. Since the theater started opening back up. Spider-Man is one of them jokes that I gotta see. But nah, that's good. I mean, my weekend was straight for the most part. You know, Shorty, Joe and I, we had our anniversary.
Ain't that butt? What you do? What y'all do, bro?
We had our anniversary. Our anniversary was actually Thursday. But we celebrated Saturday, I guess, since everybody was busy on Thursday. But I took some time out and shit, you know what I'm saying, to,
mm-hmm.
Do some little business on Thursday. Take her. Now, if Ali listens to this podcast, forgive me, but you know what I'm saying, I did our little thing on Thursday. Picked up some donuts from Astro Donuts.
Okay.
In the city and gave her a little gift and gave her some donuts on Thursday, the day of our anniversary. You know, I spent probably like a good chunk of the morning with her before I had to head back home and actually do some work. But that was Thursday for the most part. I think I came back later that day. I don't remember. But Saturday, yeah, we went to Fogo de Chao.
Okay. I thought, why ain't go to Chima, bro? Like I said, best I listen to Chima
reviews. I know Fogo de Chao, and for me to get, oh yeah, that's what I told Ali. Cause I don't think you was there Friday afternoon, but I was like, in order for me to get convinced to go to Chima or some shit, the reviews had to at least be better than Fogo de Chao's. And nothing was top of Fogo de Chao reviews.
Ali like, said it was straight.
I've been to Fogo de Chao. And he was trying to convince me that Lima's or Chima's was better than Fogo. I'm like, ain't no way in hell. Like, the reviews would reflect that it's better than Fogo. And it wasn't even close.
There's just some reviews, bro.
Fuck that.
You could have went to... This is my only thing about reviews, and it's very unlikely for somebody to write they only write reviews when they had a bad experience. Like, I never heard somebody say, oh, this shit's so good, I'm about to write a review. I know people do it, but people are more likely in this world to write a review if they had, like, bad service and shit like that. So it's like, I get it, but you know what I'm saying?
I don't necessarily disagree with you, bruh, but I also feel like I've seen plenty of people write reviews. I don't disagree again, but I've seen people write reviews because I check. I don't do it myself, but I'm an avid viewer of the Yelp and the Open Table shit. I look at that shit now. As I'm researching new places and shit. But with that being said, yeah, like I saw Chima, and it just wasn't strong enough for me to say, you know what, this is something we should go to. And on top of that, Joe hasn't been to, she hasn't been to Fogo like in over a decade. So I was like, I'm saying we could fade that, Joe. So overall, like Saturday was a good day, man. There's also another reason why I went to the boot camp on Sunday, because I was like, I knew I needed to get a workout in after this shit. But overall, good day, man. Good weekend. Sunday, spent the day with my folks, grilled out at their crib, did a little smoking session on the Weber kettle grill and shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to
Bro, eat. I was so, about to say, y'all was, you and her folks was smoking? But I know
she was. Oh, smoking on, yeah, nah, smoking on the grill. She was with Grizzle, and their fam. on Sunday, so I ain't step over there, nothing like that. They handle their business. But yeah, my overall good weekend, bro. It's good to see everybody was chilling on your side and my side. So it was, everything was straight, man. Okay. So we have a couple things to talk about. Football wise, a couple fun topics is nothing too serious, but we will check in with Dallas since you're around. Oh, we got, hold on, let me check the thing right quick. What's going on? Oh shit, all right, what's going on? Pro Tech Sports. Let me see if the jump pops up. There you go. Oh, so my jump be acting up with like three or more. My banners, my viewer, my comment banners. What's going on, big dog? Tony, how you feeling, bro? So, all right, so let me get back to it. Agenda. So we got a couple few fun topics, man. We don't have too much of serious things. Obviously, we're gonna check up on Dallas and see how they're doing as they head into training camp and shit like that. And Nick said some things, and I guess I'll ask you right now, Nick. When we were trying to get our schedule for the off season, the rest of the off season, in terms of when we're gonna come back for our shows, you said that you're not really like training camp isn't really much of a thing to you. Like you aren't really too focused on training camp. Correct me if I'm wrong. I just want to get an idea of what you were saying about your team and just the overall nature of training camp. How are you feeling about Dallas? But then how are you feeling about the upcoming training camp situation like that? Because we're going to come back for all 32 within the middle of training camp. So we won't be there at the start. So I just want to get your thoughts on training camp.
Yeah, I'm not too big on training camp. One, because Dallas doesn't really – they don't really show too much. They don't – I mean, of course, like blogging with the boys, they have their stuff up. But they don't really talk about – it's not really in depth. They might, you know what I'm saying? It's very general when it comes to us. So like we really don't know what happens until people play football. They might talk about a couple little battles here and there, if a fight breaks out, but it's just not enough for me to be fully invested unless I was like there watching it every day. Like we get like backhand stuff. It's rarely we get videos. So it's just like our camp isn't that exciting because, and then obviously you can go to Oxnard and watch some stuff, but I ain't about to go to California. You know what I'm saying? Unless they fly your boy out, I'll be out there. But unless they about to fly me out here, I'm Gucci, bro. But it's just not, our fan base doesn't uh-huh. get enough. And like Law Nation, it's a couple guys that do some decent videos, but they still don't have footage. They're just talking. So I'm like, I'm good, bro. I need to watch football.
So like they speculating just like anybody else. It's not like any opinion from a person who's been like on the beat, like a person who's been there like on everyday basis because it's their job to be there reporting on the practice and shit like that.
Yeah, their guess as good as mine. You know what I'm saying?
You know, if you are a critical thinker, you know what I'm saying, and you're very good at thinking critically, you'll be surprised how sharper your opinion is compared to others. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Your opinion could be a little bit better than those people that you were saying they're as good as yours. Yours could be the best one.
Oh, compared to people that's out there at these...
Compared to the other people that's putting out the content that you consider a fan or... A media person, but not a beat reporter. Like, you know, the beat are the day-to-day people, but the media people, like, we are technically media, but we're not beat reporters. We're not on a day-to-day thing. So.
Yeah, I definitely believe, like, I could do it, but, yeah, it's just not enough.
I ain't like that. That wasn't too confident, but...
Nah, because I was about to go into something else. I just feel like I know I could do what they do. I can do what they do at a higher level. And it's not to knock them on what they do. They just, I could be better. That's it. If I got the information they got, I think I can give a little more, but I don't know what they say I don't know if they have limitations of what they can give out based on, you know what I'm saying, opinions. I don't have a media pass for Dallas. They might have some limitations.
Man, look, fuck all that shit, bro. I'm challenging you. What's today? June 22nd. I'm challenging you today, bro, to step your game up, because when we talk about our segment, Talk Your Shit, and we catching up with Dallas and Tennessee, I'm counting on you, Nick, to bring everything I need to know about the Dallas Cowboys to the table.
You about as far as training camp? Or just in general? All
right. We ain't talking about just training camp, nigga. We talking about moving forward, bro. Everything with the Dallas Cowboys you need to bring to the table, so everybody that's listening, and including myself, need to know what the intricacies of the Dallas Cowboys are. I would do this with the Washington Commanders, but we'll talk about the Commanders on this show. We talk about that
for,
on Tuesday.
For good reason. Hey, hold on. I got to turn this light on.
Nah, you good. So, yeah, I guess for this episode, man, we have a few things on the agenda today. First, our Protect mentioned it's good enough you're doing well, man. I am doing all right, man. We just talking about our weekend for the most part and how everything was smooth. I don't know if you are fathers, but if you are, man, happy Father's Day. I hope your weekend treated you well. But, yeah, we were just talking about our weekend and things like that, just catching up and shit like that. So, on our agenda, I'm going to circle back to you, Nick. The Hall of Very Good. Who are five players that we list in the Hall of Very Good but won't make the Hall of Fame? Secondly, the best offensive play callers in the NFL. Pro Football Focus did a ranking of their top six. We will talk about it. And then lastly, another fun topic. Nick, we had $1 million on the line, each of us. We had $1 million on the line with five chances to win the rep. Would you rather block Aaron Donald or go one-on-one against Trent Williams? We will talk about that one as well. So, yeah, Nick, I know you were talking about before you got up, you were just saying, I think we were still talking about me challenging you to bring that heat with the Dallas Cowboys. Eric, you know, he, given his schedule, you know, he's kind of in and out of the show right now. Hopefully we get some consistency. Fingers crossed. But, you know, he's in and out of the show right now with his schedule. But, you know, you're the guy that we need to bring to the table where it's like, this is your platform to get everything off your chest with the Dallas Cowboys and all that critical thinking, whatever's going on with McCarthy and goddamn Dak Prescott and Zeke and all that shit. You don't like Zeke, but we need you to bring some unbiased opinions to the show.
I'll say this. I'm not a fan of Zeke. And what's funny is I don't think it's all because of his play the last couple of years. I honestly didn't want to draft Zeke to begin with. I thought he was a cool running back. I didn't think he was a top five pick running back.
He was a Ramsey guy?
Oh, yeah, bro. If you ask Ryan, bro, I would walk in Ryan's room every day before the draft and I'm like, bro, Ramsey coming to the squad. I know it. Bro, I can guarantee Ramsey. Ask Ryan, bro. When he next show, I just knew he was going to draft him, bro. It was a glaring need, and it was a tone setter for our defense. It's kind of how I felt like Michael Parsons is to our defense. It's a tone setter. It was a different voice, lead by example type of guy. It's like, bro, I'm gonna come out here and ball. Follow me, type of guy. That's what I thought about Ramsey, and him coming to Dallas would have been ideal. Like, he'd have got endless bread off of sponsors. It just made sense for him to come to Dallas. And doesn't take away from Zeke has had success. And I don't blame Zeke all the way. I believe he could have stayed in shape a little more after that Cabo thing. I feel like if your whole thing is all Cabo, to stay in shape, and you come back to training camp, or you come back to, you know, week one out of shape, what was you in Cabo for? You know what I'm saying? Y'all there just drinking and working out in the morning. That's shit counterproductive. But like, that's the whole thing with Zeke. But Zeke, you know what I'm saying? He cool. He's not as bad as I say he is. I'm like, oh, he's some shit. He not some shit. He could be better. He doesn't have that top end speed to get out like he used to, but he ain't really had no big plays in the NFL either. Like 80-yard runs, like he ain't really had that regardless. So it is what it is.
I guess the question is though, like do you need, I mean, you paid him what you paid him, meaning the Cowboys. You paid him what you paid him. But you knew Zeke before you paid him that contract. Are you a person who needed him to provide more explosive plays than what he brought before you signed him? Or when you signed him, did you understand that you, again, we're talking about the Cowboys, did you understand that, you know, he was a guy who was going to bring consistency, he was going to bring those, let's say, 3 to 4, 10-plus yard gains a game consistently, and you know that that's what he was going to bring. He wasn't going to bring that Tony Pollard joke to your offense where he's breaking off 30-yarders, 40-yarders, and some of them even going to the house. Like, but you knew that Zeke, when you gave him that money, he was going to bring that consistent 3 to 4 times a game, 10-plus yard gains. It could even went longer, but just saying at least 10 for the bare minimum.
I mean, I knew what Zeke was before that. Zeke is what you said. A couple runs going to be over 10 yards. But he's also a guy that has to get in rhythm. Like, I'm not going to say it takes away, but also Kellen Moore doesn't help Zeke in our offense.
Kellen Moore is one of those. He's one of those guys that they listed in that play callers thing. I would love, like, go ahead and expound on that. And when we get to the PFF, John, we're going to talk about it. So let's hear it.
So it's no reason why Zeke should always have to run 21, 22 dives in 12 personnel, full house type stuff. It's other ways to get Zeke the ball. If you know he's going to get a loaded box, run 11 personnel, split everybody out wide, and your five versus my five if it's a favorable box. Or if it's 5-on-6, because they have to respect our receivers, Zeke can make one guy miss. If he makes that first linebacker miss, or that linebacker whistle on the tackle, it's Zeke and his safety, and another favorable matchup. Like, Zeke and the linebacker's already, you know what I'm saying, he could run them off if he has to, or he can do something. But at least help Zeke out instead of doing, oh, let's just run two tight ends, bring Noah Brown in, and have him line up on the tight end's hip or coming on the tight end's hip to crack down on somebody. So you're bringing in, you got all these people that line of scrimmage. You're bringing corners in, safety's coming down. They know the play. I've been calling this play out for forever. Probably since Jason Garrett was running it. Because it used to be Terrence Williams would come in. Then we got rid of him, and now Noah Brown comes and runs the same thing. Amari does it a couple of times, CD. But I'm like, if I can call our players out, I know people that get paid and watch film every day can call out our plays. And I just feel like he could have helped him out. He probably could have helped Amari go for a 1,500 CD. I feel like we'll get to that list in a little bit, but Zeke could have had more help with play calling to get favorable matchups. And he might be, because at Ohio State, he ran a lot of stuff out of shotgun, and he was breaking them jumps because he had favorable boxes. It's just him and the safety. He could beat that guy or at least get the 12, 15 yards. So I'm not going to blame all on Zeke, big picture. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he has to – I don't know how that works. He got to command, like, hey, let's do something different. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to be in that room and say, let's do something different. But shout out, man, he here for at least another year, so shout out to Zeke, man.
At least another year.
At least.
All right, hey, let's get into it, man. Hey, the Hall of Very Good. We are going to name 5 players that we list in the Hall of Very Good but won't make the Hall of Fame. We can go 1-1. You have a couple that you listed already in the chat, and I want you to get to them. I'll start with my first one, and I'm going to go based on – I got a couple off my team actually, that'll help me out. But I'll start with my first one, the Hall of Very Good, Santana Moss. This guy Like, it's no sugarcoating it. He was a dog. And unfortunately, you know, his spotlight was dimmed and interrupted because of the unfortunate situations that he's had at quarterback over his 9 or 8 years as a Washington Redskin when he was active. So, unfortunately, while he was very good, he didn't get the spotlight, but also production-wise and the numbers wasn't where he needed him to be. And it's unfortunate for him because he was a good player, but Hall is very good, a person who's going to get recommendations or accommodations or acknowledgement for his skill sets and abilities. I'm going to go with the boy Santana Moss as my first one for the Hall of Very Good. Nick, where you at with your first one?
First one, you went receiver, I go to receiver. I think Dez Bryant is definitely in the Hall of Very, Very Good, bro. He had 3 solid years, maybe 3 to 4 solid years, and then he just fell off, bro. And you can't get in the Hall of Fame with 3-4 years on your resume. And I think he had like 7,500. No, he had 75 TDs, I think, and maybe 10,000 yards. No, he had 10,000 yards. Let me find out. But he's definitely.
Diz, I can look it up for you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Diz had 7,500 yards and 75 TDs, which is, I mean, TDs, yeah, number
7,500 yards, 75 TDs, 14 yards reception. That's bad. Damn, 14 yards, that's really good. I didn't know he was that explosive.
I mean, think about his early years with Romo. A lot of his shit was flies and posts, a lot of deep balls, and then his that number probably came down ever since.
16 touchdowns in 2014.
Oh, nigga, he a dog for sure. He just didn't do it long enough to be considered great for real. And
hey, now Tech, hey Tony, you said DeSean Jackson. I think D-Jax is Hall of Fame, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. I think D-Jax is Hall of Fame, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. What makes you say Hall of Very Good for DeSean Jackson? I want to hear your take on that one. Well, I think that he ultimately, when he does officially retire, I think he will end up in the Hall of Fame. Let me know why you say he's Hall of Very Good, Tony. All right, so you said Dez Bryant. For me, I'm sitting here trying to think of some other people. One that came to my head was Priest Holmes.
Okay.
But Priest Holmes, I don't think, when did he retire? Hold on, let me check.
That's a good one. He must be
Holmes.
That's, god damn. That
so boy, he retired. Total. Damn, I think 2014.
Priest Holmes?
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I got this.
07.
Ain't no way he retired. He retired in 07. Nah, because he played for, oh shit,
07, bro. He was with Trent Green and
them. Damn.
You thinking about,
hey, bro,
you,
this man.
You hey, thinking bro, about Larry Johnson.
Maybe. Bro, I'm looking at his numbers now. Hey, Priest Holmes had a season where he scored 24 touchdowns in a season and 27 touchdowns in a season, bro. That's oh, my God. And he ain't make the Hall of Fame.
That's wild.
Hey, bruh. So Priest Holmes is my second man. Hall of Very Good. I hate James, bruh. James checked into the stream. James.
What up, James?
But Priest Holmes is my guy, my second guy. Again, like I just mentioned, with his numbers. 21 touchdowns in consecutive seasons, 21 touchdowns as a rusher, 27 touchdowns as a rusher in 2002 and 2003, respectively. and 1,500 yards the year before he scored the 21 touchdowns. So in 2001, 1,500 yards leading the league in rush yards offensively at 28 years old, bro. 2005, I won't forget that shit, though. That was the year that he did us dirty in the pass game, the Washington Redskins. We came in the Arrowhead. That jump was wicked. So I'll stop it there. My second Hall of Very Good was running back Priest Holmes. Again, these aren't in order, just people that I got. But yeah, who you got, Nick, for number two?
Number two might be a little controversial. Eli Manning, bro.
I like it.
I do not think Eli's a bona fide Hall of Famer. I feel like if you're in the Hall of Fame,
all the time, like you got two bowls, Nick, and I don't want to take away from your point. Go ahead.
You better say that. And people be like, oh yeah, Protect, yeah, Larry Johnson. I was going to say him too. But Eli, bro, never in my life I was like, oh man, I would love to have Eli on my team. Or I feel like nobody ever felt like, man, Eli be cooking. I would love to have Eli. He never been like a top five quarterback in the league. When he was playing, it was bona fide studs at quarterback, man. He just wasn't that. My man led the league in picks. A couple times. I'm like, bro, you just played on a good team. Like if Eli didn't have those two bowls, nobody would be talking about him for real. They'd just be like, oh. And the two bowls he got lucky in one of them, Jones. He just threw that shit blindfolded. My brother, nigga, not good, bro. So Eli definitely Hall. I want to check his numbers out because I think his numbers was solid, but I still don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I'm with you. I think that Hall of Very Good is where it goes for him. I think if he does make it to the Hall of Fame, it's strictly off his name. And that's I don't want to, you know, diminish his name or anything like that. The Mannings have a crop of really good quarterbacks. I mean, Archie Payton and Eli, they were all good. Payton was good throughout his whole entire career up until his last season. Eli had spurts throughout his career, really was actually a really good quarterback, efficient quarterback. And Archie, I don't have too much to say about him. I don't know too much, but I mean, he was good during his time. That's all I can say about Archie. I just don't know the fluctuations or anything like that. But if he does get in, I think it'll be strictly off his name because of the fact that Peyton is getting in if he hasn't got in already. I don't remember the timeline. But Eli will get in strictly off his name at that point. So, yeah, I don't disagree, bro.
I'm looking at his numbers now. His numbers actually not that bad.
Eli's?
Yeah, he got a couple. He got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He got 7 4,000-yard seasons.
What you think about Alfred Morris and Clinton Portis? Protect mentioned Alf and James mentioned Portis. What you think about Hall of Very Good? I think I could give I wouldn't put them in my rankings because I want to make sure mine is what they are. But I think Portis can fit in the Hall of Very Good. What you think, Nick, about Alfred and Clinton?
I think if Clinton stayed in Denver, he would have been in the Hall of Fame. No shade to the Commanders or Redskins, whatever you want to be called. I just don't see him. And I feel like he had great seasons with y'all, but after he left Denver, he was never seen as the same guy because he was toting in Denver. And then he came here. He didn't get that same buzz, but I still think he hooped out in Washington, but I can't see him going to the Hall of Fame. If he does, he can be one of them old guys just walking in, they like 58. They'd be like, oh, Clinton, come on. He can be talking shit, but
your time's here, bud.
Yeah, he's not gonna be first ballot.
All right. So let me get to my second one.
It's your third one.
I'm gonna go.
It should be your third one, right?
I said who I say at first. I said
Santana.
And then
You got Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes, my bad. All right, so third. Thank you. My third is going to be defense. I mentioned a receiver and I mentioned a running back. I'm going to go defense. I'm going to go linebacker. I'm going to go San Francisco 49ers.
Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis, man. I think Patrick Willis, to this point, if he was going to get in the Hall of Fame, he would have, but I think whatever is stopping him, I don't know, maybe his injuries, maybe he didn't play long enough, but Patrick Willis, he was a dog during his time when he played. But I think that this is somebody who during his period of time, when you talk about the Niners and we talked about the Niners being good, even when they were terrible, Nick, that nigga Patrick Willis showed up in every game. Like, he didn't have bad games. And if he had bad games, we didn't know it from the public side. The coaches knew it. He knew it. But it looked like he balled out on damn near every single time he stepped on the field. Because Patrick Willis had, he played on some bad 49er teams. And they started getting good in 2011. And things turned around for them. But Patrick Willis was around for the good and the bad for San Francisco 49ers. And I think that he was one of the main staples on that defense throughout it all. And I'm going to say, if he don't make it to the Hall of Fame, he's in my book as number three for the Hall of Very Good for me. So I'm going to go Patrick Willis for my number three. Where are you at with yours? Who is your number three?
Number three, boy, just get out of the league. I don't think he's going to make it. If he do, it's by the grace of God. Antonio Brown.
Okay. Let's hear it.
And I don't think it's not the on the field stuff with AB that's going to knock him out there. I think he's a Hall of Fame talent, but I feel like this last couple of years, the way he ended, wouldn't really put him in a Hall of Fame. So, like, unless he comes back and like does like two years with no bullshit, AB definitely not going to the Hall of Fame, bro. And my thing is, if Chad don't go and he did nothing nearly as bad as AB, AB can't go. It just can't happen, bro. And AB had a time when he was considered that nigga by a long shot in the league, like routes catching, marching. He was 5'10", playing like he fucking 6'8", and he just threw that shit away.
Did you see the pivot interview yet with Mike Tomlin? Did you see the full thing?
I ain't see the full thing yet. Don't ruin it, bro. It's probably one of their best ones.
Yes, it is. It is. No question. But did you see the conversation about Antonio Brown? Because I know you said you didn't see the whole thing.
Nah, I didn't get there yet. I think I stopped halfway through.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, like, don't talk about it.
You got to hear about AB, bro. Because it goes more than what the media has been putting out there. Them lazy-ass comments that's talking about no chance in hell. Tomlin's bringing AB back. That's not even part of the conversation, bro. I'll just put it this way, like, without expounding on everything that they said. He said in his own way, which you alluded to just now, but just that he changed, bro. Like, he was naive, genuine individual when he came into the league, and shit shifted.
Yeah, I don't know AB whole situation. I feel like, because when he came to the league, he had to work because he was like fifth round, and he was like undrafted and shit like that. I like that London Fletcher, John. I think he's gonna go eventually.
I think he's a Hall of Famer though, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Man, so played like 58 years, bro. He gotta go.
I mean, he played like 10 or no.
He played most of his career at a high level. I believe he should go.
He never missed a game, but what's wild is because you watch Bustin' with the Boys, Nick. And I watch from time to time. It's not like one of my go-to shows, but in one of the latest shows, I actually think with the jump with Taylor Heineke when you sent that clip in. Fletcher, so they talked about how Zach Thomas, the linebacker from the Dolphins.
Yeah.
How they were mentioning how he was never in the Hall of Fame and why he is in the Hall of Fame right now. And they mentioned like the stats of Ray Lewis and another linebacker at the time. And I'm like, how do y'all mention all these people and then casually forget London Fletcher, who was literally neck and neck with Ray Lewis?
Nah,
Thomas.
I think it's because, bro, it's like, honestly, you got to be good and play in a solid market. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't get as much credit. I feel like Washington has had some ballers recently. I mean, in general, through, like, regardless. But they just don't get enough credit as they should. And the media just doesn't see Washington as a team to push the narrative of great players. So it's like you could be good, and London was good for a long time for him not to get enough credit. And I feel like if they had the top 100
years, by the way,
if they had the top 100 out when he was there, I feel like he'd have made the list more times than none, because players around the league probably respect him more than the media would have, and he might have gained a little more traction. But it's literally all about how you produce, and you got to get your market has to put you out there. And not to go off subject, but I've been seeing like a lot of people speak super highly of Justin Jefferson. Not taking nothing from him. I think he's a dog. I think he's good. But to put him over some of the names that they have been doing is disrespectful. I think somebody put out a list, called him, and I know they do this for ratings, so I get it. I think they put him as the best route runner in the league or some shit like that. He not, hands down. I think Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, it's a lot of people that run routes better than him, and he's still young, so he got time to get better. But mm-hmm. It's all about the media pushing certain players. So, like, I don't know, bro. London should get in based on the people at that table because they watch the game, but it's tricky.
All right. So you mentioned Dez. You mentioned
Eli.
I'm surprised you didn't mention it was. I'm not gonna spoil it because I know you had a couple, but I'm surprised you didn't mention two certain people in particular. Put it this way, people that you mentioned in the group chat. So I don't spoil it.
No, they coming, bro. They coming. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Gotta say the best for last, bro.
All right. So you had Dez. You had who'd you just mention, bro?
I had Dez, AB, and
Antonio.
Yeah, and Eli. Number four would be this is actually the person I didn't say in the joint either. I believe actually I'm gonna do that one. Tony Romo is the Hall of very, very good.
That's controversial.
I'm gonna tell you why.
In a good way, because a lot of people, and I guess we can have a quick conversation about it, but you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, he didn't win nothing. He didn't do anything. And to be honest with you, I'm on your side. Like, he didn't do anything in the postseason. He didn't do anything in the bigger games of his career in terms of, like, when it really mattered. Like, your season was on the line, or, like, all those Week 16, Week 17 games where Dallas had to win and get in, and I think it happened. It was like 3 years in a row where they failed. Yeah. And it was a shit show. I hand the floor to you, Brad, but I'm on that same side as you.
Yeah. And I feel like Tony propelled us to 8-8 every year. Cause I feel like our teams wasn't that good. But he put a lot of the weight on his shoulders, especially when we had no defense, bro. Rob Ryan, defensive coordinator, probably the worst defense in history before. I think we had somebody else after that, but like the defense that he had was trash. Honestly, it's a team game. And I tell people the way Tony had to win most games by himself, you're going to, if all your games are close, you're going to fuck up some of those games. And you got them all his shit on TV for real. We only play at 4:00. So we kind of got us, and maybe if it's a CBS game. So like all eyes on him. Monday Night Jones, Sunday Night Jones, Thursday Night Jones. It was a lot of primetime games. And if all your games are close, we barely blew people out when Tony was playing because our defense just couldn't hold shit down. So I get it. Like, bro, if every game I got to shoot, if I got to make a game winning shot, I'm not gonna make every shot. So I mean he threw some terrible picks. I remember we were sitting in Kensington Gate, I think he was playing Philly. And this nigga threw like three darts and threw a stupid ass pick, bro. I was like, come on, bro. We dropped 54 versus Denver, lost the game. It's no issue to lose the game in NFL. Back then,
it was a wild game.
back then, bro, and you come on, bro. We let Peyton Manning, run a rollout, and he's butt naked, bro. Somebody, I feel like if I'm a corner and I got the edge, and Peyton Manning got 5 yards on me, I can still get him because he's not that fast, bro. I can go make that tackle. So I just feel like it just don't be working out, bro. But Tony was definitely a baller. His numbers are amazing. The team that Dak had when he went 13-3, I think if Tony plays that year, it's very possible we could have went to the bowl. Very possible. Because if Dak can get you there, not to say, you know what I'm saying, Dak wasn't really throwing a ball like that, and the offense is kind of shaky. It wasn't shaky. It just wasn't our normal offense. But, like, if Dak can do that on, like, I think he was, like, 20-7 or some shit like that, Tony can get you 35-10. Our offense a little more explosive, and that's a at least NFC Championship. We probably won a couple games in the playoffs.
All right, I'm going to save you from putting your foot in your mouth even further. I'm gonna get my fourth guy in. So I was going to go with Vic before Montel chimed in, so I'm gonna go a different route. And my fourth guy, I've done Priest Holmes, I've done Santana Moss, and I've done Niners, Patrick Willis. I think I'm gonna go back to the offensive side of the football. Who's the guy that was at the top of my head that I just blew it? Jesus Christ. Well, because I have an infinite number of people in my memory bank and I can't remember the exact person I was thinking of, I'm gonna go with Dante Culpepper. Dante Culpepper was a dog. Like, exactly. Get your motherfucking roll on. You know what time it is, bro. Dante Culpepper, man. All I can remember was his time with his Vikings, bro. Is dropping back. Finding Randy Moss, I think he had Nate Burleson too. In some points, now this may have been a mixture, a crossover between him and Brad Johnson, but I think he had Wiggins, the fat ass tight end, for a short period of time too. But he had all these weapons, bro, for the Vikings, and he made the best out of every situation that he had up until, you know, I guess contracts kind of got him out of Minnesota and injury as well, and you know, things kind of went south for him. But I guess that's also why, you know, you got to try to stay in as tip top shape as you possibly can. That shit ain't work out for him. But even still, like, his production on the field, his arm talent as a quarterback, man, his ability to, like, drop back off a three-step drop, find his guy and have pinpoint accuracy 30-40 yards down the field, bruh. That shit was incredible. But not only are we talking about, you know, one instance, like, he did it on a consistent basis, bruh, in Minnesota at least. And I think that was a bulk of his career. And then he had a glimpse of it in Oakland. Not Miami, but I think Oakland he had a glimpse of it. And people can correct me if I'm wrong. But just to show that he still had that shit while he had that opportunity to start in other places outside of Minnesota. So I'm going to go Hall of Very Good, Dante Culpepper, my quarterback, number four. Who is your number five, Nick?
Number five. So I got number five and two honorable mentions.
All right.
So number five is, let's go with McNabb. I'm going to go with McNabb, bro. And what's funny is all quarterbacks do well under Andy Reid, clearly. But like, McNabb was doing that shit, bro. And like, as a black quarterback to be out there hooping like that he was hooping for years. But he just never could get a bowl. Like, they was in the NFC Championship, what, three years in a row before they got to the bowl? So McNabb is definitely, I feel like his numbers should speak for it. So the way he ended his career in Washington, I don't know what it is about these Washington guys. I don't know what it is, bro. He just, you know what I'm saying? Was he good with y'all? I don't remember really his stint with Washington.
He was good for like 4 games.
Okay, so yeah,
that tells you he wasn't good.
Yeah, so that automatically put a dent in your resume. You come to Washington. I don't know what it is about y'all, bro. Do y'all have a lot of people in the Hall of Fame? Talking like Doug.
We got a good number, but we still got some that's been like obviously slighted, like the nigga Joe Jacoby. He's one of the members of the Hogs. I let the old head speak for him, but knowing how good he is, like he's been snubbed for like the past 15 years. And yeah. When that number is that high, I don't think you're ever getting in. But he's been snubbed for a long time, and he was one of the key cogs on that offensive line, and he's not getting no recognition. So I wonder if it's something that, you know, something personal.
You never know, bro. So, yeah. Of course, Joe Thies. I got somebody. I got a couple people. But, yeah, bro, McNabb. And then my two honorable mentions, Chad Johnson.
That was one of my guys, bro.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, Chad.
Chad, arguably, during his time, he had a couple years, probably the best receiver in the league. Best routes in the league. Put on a show every weekend. He brought touchdown celebrations to the game for real. Like, he kind of revolutionized the game. Like,
this list is incredible, too. Montel had time to think for this. But fuck you.
Yeah. I was thinking about Aaron Foster. I was thinking about him and Matt Forte. It's two guys that would have been solid. And then the last one is Ricky Williams.
Oh, my guy.
Ricky,
that's
is,
my guy right there.
I don't think Ricky would go. I think if he didn't have the off the field stuff. But I think Ricky missed 2 years and still, I think he had 10,000 yards in his career.
And then came back cooking, splitting time in the Ravens back.
Yeah, cooking, splitting time, still cooking. He talked about that on the pivot, maybe. He talked about it somewhere. It might have been a pivot. He talked about
IMF.
Yeah, he talked about it, and they was talking about how him and Ray Rice didn't really get along. He thought he was going to come back, but he just retired instead because his bot wasn't there. But Ricky had some years, bro. Yeah, pulled up his stats, 1,816. He had 5,000 yard seasons. We still had 2,000 yards. His first year, he almost had a stack. He had no tutties, though. I had like Julio Jones. But yeah, bro, Ricky's definitely honorable mention. I don't think I had no defensive players, for real.
You sure didn't, bro. And I'm going to give one honorable mention to a defensive guy, but my fifth and final guy is going to be Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson, we know his story, man, and I will never forget that fucking 2010 game when speaking of Donovan McNabb. I think this is his first game, if not second game, because we beat y'all first game because of Sunday night jump. Second game was Houston at home, and we had like a 27-10 lead or maybe like a 20-10 lead or something like that, and Andre Johnson scored that game winner against us over Reed Doughty, who can't fucking...
Motherfucking Reed Doughty, bro.
He can't jump for shit. He's always in position, but can't do nothing to make a play on the ball. And you know what time it is if they throw it to him. And Andre Johnson said, give me that shit, nigga, in the end zone for the game winning touchdown. But Andre Johnson overall, bro, his season statistics, incredible. His beat down of Courtland Finnegan should put him in the Hall of Fame alone, but you know they ain't really gonna do that to him. So, I think that his opportunities. I think he played for what? Let me look it up.
Andre or Reed?
Huh? Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson. Let me see. Here you go. Andre played for 14 years, retired in 2016, or his last season was 2016, but look, man, productive every year, scored a touchdown every single season.
His numbers are all right, bro. He might go. ain't gonna hold you.
2016, but you're eligible what in like
five years? Yeah. So this year would be his first year. Or next year would be his first year. Next year.
Nah.
Or this year. Either this or
2021. His first year would have been 2021.
I think it go. I think it's the year. I don't know. I haven't heard his name even like being said at all yet.
To your point though, it could come around this year. Let me see. Let me see if I didn't overstep. Let me see.
Bro, he got four seasons over 1400.
Yeah, he wasn't part of the 2022 class. And he was the first time. So this was his first time eligible. It was 2022.
He might got the numbers to go. 1,472.
Maybe second or third ballot, but not first ballot.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's first ballot. Yeah. I don't think a lot of niggas first ballot for real.
All right. So I put an asterisk beside that one. But for now, I'm going to do Hall of Very Good. My second guy, my honorable mention is going to be Nate Clements. Nate Clements, the cornerback. He played a long time cornerback for the Buffalo Bills and obviously had some time with the San Francisco 49ers as well. All I remember, bruh, growing up, because I ain't going to have no stats for you. I mean, I got the stats in front of me, but I'm not going to remember, like, his actual skill set, his strengths and weaknesses. But I just remember that nigga locking shit up every single game, forcing turnovers or making plays almost every single game. Highlight reels when it comes to Buffalo Bills, a team that didn't win anything. But Nate Clements was right there to make plays, bro. And when he went to San Francisco, that was a huge deal because he was one of the league's best corners at the time. And he went to San Francisco, made big bank in San Fran, and still found ways to make plays over there. There was some controversy in San Fran in terms of his transition. It wasn't so smooth, but my honorable mention for Hall of Very Good is Nate Clements, man. I loved to see what he did when he was in his prime. So I guess that ends it there for me. Any final thoughts on this Hall of Very Good stuff, man, before we close it with the now I did say we was going to get to the offensive play callers in the NFL. We can actually save that because that's a outstanding or a standing article, so it won't go nowhere in terms of timetable. We can bring that one back up, but we're gonna get to that Aaron Donald and Trent Williams thing. You got any last thoughts on the Hall of Very Good?
Nah, I think it's hard to find, but I feel like it's hard to pick someone on the defensive side of the ball for real, because like especially a corner, it's just trying to measure their stats. It's hard to pick an honorable mention or like a very. It's either you a stud or you just not gonna make it as a corner. All right,
because you ain't mentioned not one defensive person. I made sure to mix that thing up.
I said London, but I didn't put him in my list. I always thought London because I believe he should get in. But like a guy like, let me see, who's a stud? Pat Pete obviously going to the Hall of Fame. Antonio Cromartie, is he a Hall of Famer?
I thought about him. He was in my notes.
Like how I'm supposed to look at his stats and be like, I don't know. It's hard. You got to watch film on a corner. Like
you got to
watch film on it, bro. Like he could, like all corners aren't pick corners. Some people don't even get the ball thrown to them to get the picks. So you know what I'm saying? It's hard to measure defensive guys unless you're a linebacker or you're a D lineman.
Antonio Cromartie. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some defensive linemen over the years. Robert Mathis, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. Dwight Freeney, I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
You don't think Dwight Freeney?
I don't think Dwight Freeney going to the Hall
of Fame. I don't think Ndamukong Suh might go.
OCU Manura, he ain't going to the Hall of Fame, but he was really good.
Nah.
Let's see.
As a D lineman, you gotta be a cold stud. Aaron Donald, for Khalil Mack, Jason
Clemens,
DeMarcus Ware.
He ain't going. DeMarcus is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, D-line, bro.
Quite a few names, bro, out there. Calais Campbell. I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame. But
I don't see him either. He's never been like, I mean, he's always been a solid, he's been a good player his whole career, but he's never been pushed as far as like, I don't know, bro. Like, he's good. He doesn't get pushed. I guess like out in the line. He went to Jacksonville. Where else he played at?
Jacksonville, Arizona, Baltimore. That was his main spot. I think he started in Arizona.
Yeah.
He went to Jacksonville and then went to Baltimore.
Yeah, his career job like fizzled out because if he was hot at first.
Nah, he's still cooking, bro. What you mean?
I don't really watch Ravens games like that, but I don't hear.
That nigga still cooking.
You know who I did? So we was talking earlier. You know how I didn't know who was cooking this year? Robert Quinn. Nigga had 18 and a half sacks. Would never know. Oh, he plays on a sorry team in the Bears, bro. You just never know, bro. Never know.
Yeah, he was eating, bro. That nigga was damn near. He was close to breaking the sack record for a long time. Like, projected in terms of like his stats. His sacks per game. He was getting close to that, to breaking that sack record, bro. That shit was crazy. All right. So speaking of sacks, speaking of blocking. Let's end it with this last joke, Nick. We don't have to be too long on this one. But it's, you had $1 million on the line. You got all the opportunity in the world to do whatever you want with this $1 million. It's not taxed. It's $1 million handed to you. Pay off your bills. Buy another home. Buy three homes. Put down payments on three other homes. Do whatever you want to invest. All these other things. You got all this opportunity in the world. You got $1 million on the line with five chances to win the rep, Nick. Would you rather block Aaron Donald or go 1v1 against Trent Williams? You have to get to the quarterback. Which route are you taking?
Give me Trent, bro. Every day, all day. It's no way in hell. Aaron Donald, 6'1", 265, solid muscle, bro. There's no way I'm about to sit in the chair and block this nigga. It's damn near physically impossible. I have a better chance of getting up under Trent. I'm already shorter than him. If I get low, bend my hips, I can get around him. You know what I'm saying? I did it before. Flag, bro. I'm a great rusher. There's no way. And, bro, to sit there to
you
get
say you a great rusher until that motherfucking hand strike fucking stun your ass. You be like, oh shit.
That's why you guys,
when that hand strike come out and that motherfucker hits you in your chest on your fucking what's this right here?
Your throat? Sternum?
Sternum? Okay, it's a sternum. All right. So when it hits you in your sternum, bro, I don't think that's your sternum. Damn, I disagree with you.
Yeah. That can't be.
Whatever this is, bro. Whoever,
bro, it's looking, your sternum, bro.
Y'all see this? It can't be your sternum, bro. But when he hits you right there, bro, on your rush, and you be like, "Fuck!" You got two more seconds to get to the quarterback because he hits you in that half a second as soon as the snap started, bro. You can be like, "Damn, I got to do this four more times."
But what's more likely to happen, bro? Me blocking Aaron Donald or getting around Trent? Me getting around Trent, bro. NFL linemen can barely block Aaron Donald. They double team tripping this nigga. I am a regular guy, go to the gym 3 times a week. I'm strong. You know what I'm saying? I can bench 270, but I'm not about to sit here and block Aaron Donald, bro.
Yeah, nah, give me Trent too.
I can chop block him. Do that for sure.
I mean, that would count. You gotta win the rep. You got five times to win a rep. You can chop them. And if you're successful in getting them to the ground.
So if we got pads on and I can chop them, I might try that.
You stupid. I'm still taking Trent.
Because
nigga, I'm still taking
Trent. Like, he got 3 seconds to get to the quarterback?
Yeah, 3 seconds. 3 seconds, yeah. For Trent and 3 seconds for Aaron. Same thing.
Yeah, but give me Trent, bro. Give me Trent.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm taking Trent too, bro. Fuck
if that. I got passed on,
trick question. He Aaron hit Donald, me. Hall of Famer, bona fide. Trent Williams, He's Hall of Fame, but he's like teetering on the Hall of Very Good.
You think so? And what's funny is I was going to bring up Trent, but he's still playing. I think Trent, I always thought Trent was good in Washington. But I didn't think he got the credit he deserved from the media. I thought players respected him, of course. But as soon as he got the, like he got a new groove when he came back to San Fran. He was just pulling tackles. I'm like, bro, what you doing, bro? Just relax.
He eating up there.
Yeah, bro. What, you know what I'm saying?
On the left coast. But yeah, nah, I'm going Trent Williams, bro. I think while I tried to scare you with the shit that he can do, I don't think what you would experience versus Trent is going to be much better off than what you can experience against Aaron Donald. You ain't even going to be able to get a hand on Aaron. Like that nigga hands move too quick and it's too active,
bro. Bro, he played with knives in the offseason, bro. This is what he doing in the offseason.
That nigga, bro. It's gonna be a headache, bro. You gonna want to fight that nigga, bro. And then you're gonna realize that this nigga benched 600 pounds and you can't even fight the nigga.
Can't do nothing with him, bro. Can't do nothing.
Then you gotta resort to some shit that you knew from around the neighborhood. Like, I don't want to do this, but I gotta come back.
God, bro.
I'm going to my car.
It's like, I know it wouldn't end well, bro. Like, he'd be in your back all five reps, looking stupid.
Yeah, bro. That ain't gonna be pretty, bro.
Yeah, nah, I ain't fucking with him. But Trent, though, for sure, I get that $1 million.
You gonna get it?
Oh yeah, for sure. What? Hit my man with a little spin move, cuz.
Yeah, hey, give me 2 days to prep, bro. If I'm talking about $1 million, I'm taking those 2 days off from work.
How do you prep, investing, though, bro?
I mean, I'm getting a trainer.
Bro,
I'm saying, give me 2 days with you, bro, and I'm paying you by the hour. We are gonna work from 6 a.m. to noon on trying to find that one move that I perform the best in. We're going to try to master that shit 2 days in a row. And then not only that, I'm going to work on that shit after our session is over for the next 6 hours, because I'm trying to get this $1 million. So if I can invest 12 hours into a trainer,
you going to get put on your ass.
12 bro. More hours, 12 more hours by myself, bruh, trying to beat this nigga Trent Williams. I'm going to do it.
You're going to put on your ass. Because you want to know why you're going to put on your ass? You're going to be trying some shit you just learned. You're going to be thinking about this shit. And you're going to get out there.
Natural athletes, bro.
All right, yeah. You can get out there, try to do that shit you just learned, be on your fucking back. You're like, why this shit not working? That's going to be the first rep. And after the first rep don't work, you're like, damn, bro.
I don't know what to do. It's a strategy to this whole thing, bro. So the first two reps is me. First two reps against Trent. I'm not expecting to win. I'm not going to go out there and try to use my move on the first fucking rep. I'm going to use my first two moves are going to be setups to try and understand what the fuck I can and what the fuck I can't do. Try to understand my movements. Try to get a feel for my movements, like how I'm feeling, what I can, you know, work against this nigga. Like, how is he playing me type shit. And then we bring out the shit that I learned over the last couple of days. That's when we bring that shit out. He's going to be like, damn, son, where'd you find this?
You remember that rep that DeMarcus had the other day?
Of course.
That's what you're going to look like.
Yeah, I'm going to look like the successful one.
On them fucking ground, bro. I ain't see the successful one. I saw the one this nigga tripped over.
I sent both of them.
He tripped over himself. It was, nah, the other one you sent, I thought that was it.
I sent both of them.
Nah, you sent the jump with Osu.
Nah. Yeah, check that second one. Let me see. Yeah, the second one. That's the zone where he did the same move and beat him the second time.
But he didn't get the sack, right?
No, he didn't get the sack. We ain't talking about, like, he's still. So I was watching.
Oh, specific, okay.
I was watching Sam Cosmi, so I wasn't really focused on anything else. That's why. But yeah. He won the rep.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Okay. All right. So we both going with Trent Williams, man. All right, so listen, everybody, again, schedule wise, this was the end of our off season as well. We are going into our summer break, but we will be around for recordings and things like that. So it's not the end of Trapper Dive until training camp starts. We're taking our break too. But in that same vein, we will be around again for some interviews when we're trying to lock some things up. Nick, if you got something for the people, tell them where they can find you or anything like that. You can go ahead and plug your socials for people, so the people that listen and watch can catch up to you on the social medias.
Yeah, bro. I'm underscore Nick Tripp on basically all social media. On Twitter, underscore Nick Tripp. On Instagram, I am Nick Tripp underscore. Follow your boy. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see your boy suited and booted. Come rap to me. I'll be talking about shit on Twitter for real. But I do be talking about shit at the same time. And yeah, bro, I'm about to, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to start doing a little more. Also, brand dropping very soon. You can follow that at we.reppin'. It's going to be really, really lit, where we highlight a lot of HBCUs and get, you know what I'm saying? It's just something different, man. I'm about to step back into a lot of things that I used to love. So my pages should be really different going forward, starting next month. So you're gonna see a different another side of me, I guess you can say. But it's gonna be lit, man. It's gonna be lit. Football, a lot of stuff.
There you go. So yeah, with that being said, fellas, ladies, appreciate everybody watching, listening. Again, if you can, try to, you know, help us out with some subscribes, likes, rates, reviews, all that good stuff, man. Help us get this show pushing as we push into our second season of the Trapper Dive podcast, man. It's been a hell of a ride, man. I've enjoyed every second of it. It's a lot of work, but you know what I'm saying? What's good if you ain't got no work, if you ain't got no good work ethic, so I'm here for it. With that being said, we will catch you around, man, until training camp. Stay tuned for the recorded shows and things like that. But until next time, be safe. Enjoy y'all day. Enjoy y'all night. Enjoy y'all watching.
Peace.
Damn, set, huh. Watch him throw the ball. We gon' pick it off. You gon' let him hit the hole or you gon' cut it off. You gon' play through fourth and long or you gon' punt it off. Your defenders heavy hitters, put your pads in. Don't be looking for the ref to throw no flags in. Keep the helmet on, keep the cleats tight. You the type to want to win by any means, right? You should look alive. This is Trapper Dive.